Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of the Word of God that we shall read and consider this morning, the Holy Spirit has caused to be recorded in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10, where we read as follows in Jesus' name. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am a youth. For you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. This is the word of the Lord. I can relate to Jeremiah. He was a young man who didn't want to be a preacher. I was once a young man who didn't want to be a preacher. When God told him he had ordained him to be a prophet to the nations, Jeremiah objected. He was a youth. He didn't know how to speak publicly. But it was more than that. You can learn how to speak publicly. Jeremiah didn't want to be a preacher because he was afraid. He was afraid because he knew how people react to the preaching of God's word. Sometimes they get mad. Sometimes they don't like what they hear, and they blame the preacher. Jeremiah didn't apply for the job of prophet. He was drafted. This coming week, I'll be giving a paper at a conference in Kansas City. My topic is The Pastor, Shepherd, or CEO. In this paper, I'm asking three questions about a pastor and the same three questions about a CEO. First, what is the purpose of the office? Second, by what standards do you judge those in this office? Third, by whose authority does the man in this office carry out his work? The purpose of the pastoral office is that the gospel be preached so that those who hear it may believe in their Savior Jesus and receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life in his name. The standards by which to judge a pastor is the teaching of God's holy word. Does he faithfully teach the pure and wholesome doctrine of God's word? The authority under which the pastor does his work is the authority of God and his church. The purpose of the office of CEO is to provide a vision for the company. What does it want to be? The standard of judging the CEO is if the company makes money. If he makes the company money, keep him on and pay him well. If he doesn't, fire him and hire someone else. The authority under which the CEO operates is the board of directors elected by the shareholders of the company. Now, they are very different offices, as you can see, but during the past generation or so, churches across America have adopted the CEO model for their pastors. What is his vision? What will he do to cause the church to grow both financially and numerically? And if the church does well, pay the pastor a great big salary, and if it doesn't, fire him and hire another preacher who will be more successful. What is this? It is playing church. When children play act, they go through motions of adult activities, but they aren't actually engaging in them. They have a tea party without tea. They have weddings, church services. I've seen them do it. They have all sorts of things. And it's all pretend. So it is for the church of our day. It is pretend Christianity. God puts his words in Jeremiah's mouth. What he says, God isn't interested in the latest stylish theological opinion. God speaks his eternal word. And what he says is his law. What he says is his gospel, his law that teaches us right from wrong and condemns us for failing to do what is right. His gospel, which gives us the forgiveness of sins that the Lord Jesus has won for us by his obedience all the way to the death of the cross. He preached law and gospel. Jeremiah preached against idolatry because that was a terrible sin against God. It was the cause of the ruin of God's church and nation. And when Jeremiah was preaching against idolatry, let me tell you, adopting Baal worship was good business, and it made financial sense. And if the church were some kind of a corporation that could model her activities after the activities of a corporation, it would have adopted Baal worship because that was good for business. A CEO is to be judged by how well he helps the company improve its financial condition. If the company keeps on losing money, the CEO is fired. It's like coaches who lose games. Sooner or later, they're gone. You measure success by clearly visible indications. You can measure money, but you cannot measure faith. The preacher cannot know what his preaching does. He can only know if he has preached the words God gave him to preach. God promised to put his words in Jeremiah's mouth. If the preacher cannot say at the end of his sermon that God said it, then he shouldn't have preached that sermon. I'll never forget a sermon I heard some years ago by a pastor who, after talking for about 10 minutes without saying much of anything at all, and nothing pertaining to the text he was preaching on, finally appeared to get tired of preaching and ended his sermon with the word, whatever. God did not put that preacher in the pulpit. On the basis of these words of Jeremiah, we see three things about the ministry God teaches us. First, God chooses his ministers. Second, God protects his ministers. And third, God speaks through his ministers. First, God chooses his ministers. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. God chooses his ministers. You hire and you fire a CEO. According to the scriptures, the minister of Christ, the true preacher sent by God, is not hired and fired by anybody, but God sends him. How shall they preach unless they are sent, St. Paul asks in Romans chapter 10. Now, we talk about the call of the church, and the reason we use the word call with reference to the church's activity and the word send with respect to God's activity is that God sends his preachers today, not directly like he did the prophets of old, but indirectly through the call of the church. But when the church calls its preachers, it must show on the basis of the scriptures that God himself supports this preacher. And then when they call the preacher, they are confident that God is sending that preacher, and to hire and fire preachers is to deny that they are servants of God. But God is the one who chooses his ministers. Second, God protects his ministers. And why? Because there's some kind of a special clerical class? Because they have more value to him than the laity? No, not at all. He doesn't protect his preachers simply for the sake of his preachers. He protects his preachers because he loves those to whom his preachers preach. He loves his holy church, which is the apple of his eye. He sent his own dear son to redeem the church with his blood, and he has put upon his church a value and a dignity and a holiness that comes from Jesus Christ himself. He chose his church. As we sing, Lord, 'tis not that I did choose thee, that I know could never be, for this heart would still refuse thee had thy grace not chosen me. God loves his church, and so he protects his ministers for the church's sake. And third, God speaks through his ministers. Jesus said, beware of false prophets. Now, how can you beware of false prophets? By knowing the truth yourself. To know what is true doctrine and what is false doctrine is your responsibility as a Christian. As Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. God speaks through his ministers, and you can judge if the minister who is speaking to you is speaking for God. If God sent him, you can judge, but you can only judge if you know what God says. An ignorant laity is the playground for false prophets. And that is why false teaching is such an epidemic in the church of our day. It is because God's people are ignorant of the fundamentals of the Christian faith. God has kept his church alive by indoctrinating the laity, that means the people of God, in the truth of his word. And one reason why the little catechism written by Martin Luther is such a popular little book of Christian instruction is because anybody can memorize it, and it beautifully summarizes that truth which every Christian preacher is commanded to preach. You should know the Ten Commandments and the meaning by heart. You should know the Apostles' Creed and what it means. You should know the Lord's Prayer and what it means. Know what the Bible teaches about holy baptism and the Lord's Supper. Then you can know whether the preaching of your preacher is the preaching from God. God speaks through his ministers. And if they speak for God, they are speaking to you. And then you listen to them as if God himself is talking to you. As he said to Jeremiah, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. This is true power, and God does it. We often look so pathetically weak. We look as if we're totally out of it. It looks as if the world is having the victory over the church. And what do we see? Well, it's not what we see, it's what God says. Because we have the Word of God. And the Word of God is going to destroy. It's going to destroy all of the things that people think are just so precious in this world. And the Word of God is going to rebuild. The Word of God will bring the new heavens and the new earth. The Word of God is the power that causes everything good. And it is the Word of God that penetrates our hearts and makes us from unbelievers into Christians. And by impressing upon us the gospel of the forgiveness of sins for Christ's sake, the Word of God gives us everlasting life. That's why we thank God for faithful preachers who preach that Word of God to us in our need. We thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. Check us out on the World Wide Web, christforus.org, and tune in next Sunday for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.